Without further ado, I'd like to introduce who's going to be bringing the word to us today. Somebody that we all know and love and we wish were our grandma. And even if she wasn't your grandma, she is right now because she's just that way to everyone. It is Pastor Hope, our care pastor. Let's give it up for Pastor Hope. She brings us the word today.
Good morning. When Pastor called and asked if I could bring the word, I, of course, said, okay, Lord, you're on. And Pastor had a really bad migraine headache, which we've all been praying for and trusting God that these are the end of these. But what I wanted to bring, the word, just came to my heart. The best place I know in the whole Bible to talk about the word is 119th Psalm. And so I opened up, and that's where I'm going to ask you to park, whether you get on your cell phone or in your Bible, just park on 119th Psalm, and we'll go through some verses there, but I'll also go a few other places, because that's what I do. And what I want to talk to tonight, or this morning about, is thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. I want to talk about, let's make 2019 a more intentional time to hide his word in our heart. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. I just pray right now that you will just open our hearts, open our ears, open our minds to receive. I just ask that you would just anoint the word as it goes forth. We just love you and we invite you in, Holy Spirit, in your name, amen. Verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And I think that might have been one of the first verses I ever memorized, pretty close to it. And in the 119th Psalm, it talks about the word and what the word does in our life. And in verse 11, it says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. And I remember when Jim and I moved out by plane, which is probably 40 miles from here, on a farm. And we was renting the farm, and we was working some of the farm to pay off some of the rent. And we had been through a time where I would be real honest, we were mad at God. We went through some time and we didn't understand, and we were mad that God didn't let us know what was happening. And so we did what you do when you're mad. We threw temper tantrums in every area of our life. So then we moved out to this farm, and we had come to the place where we knew that, you know, we're just messing up our life, we're messing up our kids' life, we need to get back where we belong with the Lord. But I was bitter, and my heart was not nice. I was not nice to me. I wasn't nice to other people. But my hope and my wonder was gone, and Lord put us on that farm, and it was my job to feed the animals. And so I saw pigs being born and cows, calves being born, and kittens, of course, on a farm, and puppies, and even deer. And I'll tell you, it just restored my wonder. As I saw new life, it restored my wonder. Seeing what our God can do, picking up a little baby pig that wasn't breathing at all and just warming it up. And as I held it and warmed it up, it became alive. And that's so what's in my heart. Just to hold people's lives till they warm up, till they get their wonder restored. Verse 28 says, my soul melts with heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Give me understanding. In verse 34, I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Turn away my eyes, in verse 37, from the looking at worthless things. I wonder how much of our energy is spent on things that are not eternal. It's not wrong to have fun. It's not wrong to enjoy. We have lots of things to enjoy here in America. And that's not wrong. But how much of our effort and time and money and everything is spent on things that will make no difference one day? So turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. Spend our time on things that are eternal. Remember the word to your servant about what you caused me to hope. I remember in April of this year, Jim went in to have a test done and found out that he had bladder cancer. And a word came to me from Psalm 31, verse 14 and 15, that says, I trust in my God. My time is in his hands. And, you know, we think we know what's happening. So sure, okay, we're going to go through this. But it was a word that just stuck in my heart. And the Bible says, hide the word in your heart. You know, you hear people say, oh, I've got this gut feeling. Boy, I've just got a gut feeling. You know, I really believe when the Bible talks about putting the treasures of God's word in your heart, I think that's where it goes. This down in our gut. Because sometimes our mind can get really messed up and our heart can get broken. But that never stops the word from welling up within us and coming up out of that spot that gives us that gut feeling, gives us that word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And sometimes we have that light on our lamp on the path, but sometimes we just need that light right on our feet because we can't even take that next step. I remember the night that they took Jim out of the, put him on the intensive care ward, not out of the intensive care, and then down in the CLC unit at the VA. Now this is spreading from, it was October was the cancer. That all worked its way out. And now we're in October. But then they started talking to us about those things that you don't like to talk about. The things that says, what if this happens? What do you want us to do? What if that happens? What do you want us to do? I cried so hard. And the verse that came to me is verse 28. It says, my soul melts with heaviness, but I found my strength in your word. And every one of us will have times that our hearts are heavy. And we won't have Pastor Ryan there beside us. We won't have Mateo up singing us into the presence of the Lord. It'll just be you and life. And the word, it says, thy word have I hid in my heart. And my challenge to us this next year is to be more intentional or be intentional about storing God's word in our heart. Because there will be times, and every one of us probably could stand up here, we could be here till 4 o'clock tomorrow, giving stories of the times that God has brought a word up out of our spirit. But you know the secret to that is, if you don't hide that word in there, it's not in there. You can't go to a treasure box and take out something you didn't put in there. And we just came through Christmas, and I'm sure every one of us got special treasures. I got a Christmas ornament that was somebody had made a donation in my name, and on the back of the ornament was a website that I could go look at and see where that donation went to. And mine went to India. And every year I get a different treasure. Sometimes it's maybe a card just from somebody that touched your heart. And those are treasures that we put in our nostalgia boxes and probably hide them under our bed or put them in our closet or wherever we put our treasures. But the Bible talks about hiding the word in our heart like it's a treasure. And one of the reasons is, it says that I might not sin against you. when, you know, there's scriptures in the Bible that say that, you know, there's not life nor death, there are things to come or things present, angels or demons, that's going to separate us from the love of God. But sometime, have you ever knew God was right there, but there was a wall? Guess what builds that wall? What builds that wall is our disobedience. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Have you got something you struggle with that you just can't get a handle on? I challenge you, put God's word in your heart. It helps. None of us will be perfect till the Lord comes. I still have challenges. I don't have the challenges I used to have, but I still have challenges. I say things that it's like, oh, I was never going to say that again. Oh, I was never going to have that bad attitude again. But the word, the more we put in our heart, the more we treasure in our heart, it just refreshes you. It just refreshes you. It revives you. It cleanses you. And out of that, when life happens, because it does and it will, when life happens and that verse, that certain verse will just well up in your heart. When Jim was on the CLC ward and they kept putting off his go-home date for like 3 weeks worth of put off. And that scripture came right back to me again. The Lord is of my God, in him I will trust, my time is in his hands. But like I said, if that word isn't in there, then it's not going to come out. We homeschooled our granddaughter for 3 years, and she'd say, oh, Grandma, can you pray that I pass this test? I'd say, did you study for it? Well, yeah, some. I said, well, you can ask the Holy Spirit to bring the answers back, but he can only bring back what you put in there. You know, and that's a fact with the treasures of our heart, too. If we don't put it in there, when times get rough and life happens, your treasure box will be empty. And then your strength is gone. The Bible says that, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The devil doesn't give a rip about your joy. He wants your strength. And your strength is in your heart. And it talks about here, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. And then it says, guard your heart, because out of it flows your very life. Verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Isn't it good to know that God's word isn't changing? It's just, it's there, it is. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth. Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. And every person here can probably say that. If it hadn't have been for God. If it hadn't have been for his word. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Verse 57 says, you are my portion, O Lord. And every time I read that verse, it reminds me of when I was a kid. I have 19 brothers and sisters. There were 15 of us kids and our parents living home at one time. And we would get a box of ice cream and we sliced the ice cream. You opened up this little half-gallon box and you sliced it. And you got really good at slicing when you knew you got the last piece. So, you could slice it pretty accurately. We didn't even have bowls. I thought about that this morning. We didn't even have bowls. That's how thin our slice was. We ate it on a plate. But that was my portion. And I remember different times when the kids, somebody wouldn't be in the house at supper time, and their portion was sitting over there. You didn't touch their portion. It was on that plate, and it now looked like a puddle. But it used to be ice cream, and that was their portion. And how good it is to know that God's word has my portion. Whatever I need today, whatever portion you need, whether you need healing in your heart, your body, your mind, your soul, whether you need comfort, wisdom, there's that portion in the Word of God for you. And you don't have to be a pastor to get into the Word. One of the other verses I read says in verse 34, give me understanding. I had a sister that even would tell me, you know, I don't read the Bible because I don't understand it at all. And I said, do you understand how you, when you eat a carrot and it goes into your body, makes beta carotene and helps you see? And she said, well, no. I said, but you eat carrots anyway, don't you? So, you know, I just admonish you this morning, even if you are not, if you don't think you understand it, it says, God, give me understanding. Ask him to help you understand it. How many of us have read the Bible through in the next time you read it, it's like, wow, I don't ever remember seeing that verse before in my life. I know I should. I ran across one of them the other day. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, been reading the Bible for a long time. I don't believe I've ever seen that verse. But teach me your good judgments and your knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. So far we've seen that it keeps us from sin. It restores our wonder. It lifts our heaviness. It gives us understanding. It is our portion. I grew up in a big family, and sometimes I tended to feel like one of the kids. I didn't really feel like just Hope, like special me. I was just felt like one of the kids. And to know that my God loves me, he loves Hope. About 15 years ago, I went to Honduras on a missions trip, and well, I say I broke my leg, but I really didn't break my leg. I tore the ligament that holds your kneecap in place. My kneecap ended up here. And a lot of time, a lot of surgeries, a lot of medications, some MRSA on top of that. All of that. And I remember when my mom had just passed away. She passed away like 6 weeks before I went to Honduras. And my dad had Alzheimer's, and I called him up and I said, well, Dad, I'm going on a missions trip, and I'm going to need you to pray me through this one. Usually mom prays me through. He said, oh. Yeah, he had Alzheimer's, was hard of hearing, and it was hard to sort out which was which. And so I said, I'm going on a missions trip. He said, a fishing trip? I said, no, Dad, a missions trip. And he said, missionaries? Oh, missionaries are good people. And he said, are you going to Honduras where you went to? No, to Guadalupe where you went last time, that's what he said. That's close, Dad. It was Guatemala, that's where I was before. I said, no, I'm going to Honduras. And I said, so you're going to have to pray me through this one. And he said, oh, prayer. I love to pray. I can pray. And he went right into it. And he said, dear Lord Jesus, bless all the missionaries. Bless all the people that go to Honduras. And if any of them get sick or are sick among them, Lord, heal them. The funniest thing was, I came home with my broken leg, with getting MRSA and having medication, shut my kidneys down. I went on dialysis. Just a whole big nightmare of about a two-year process. But I remembered that prayer. The last coherent, my dad passed away 15 months to the day after my mom did. So it was like my mom passed away, my dad passed away, and this life of Honduras was sandwiched in between there. But I remembered my dad saying, and he quoted the scripture, if there's any sick among them, let them be healed. And I hung on to that. I hung on to that verse. It was precious in so many ways, but it was precious because my God heals. And the Word tells me that my God heals. In this coming year, I think for myself, and I'm sharing this with you because I got the pulpit today, is that just that this year we would be more intentional about putting God's word in our heart. We, you know, you hear people talk about, everybody has different reactions to this is the last weekend of the year. Some people groan, and, you know, and some people are just excited. And, but one thing we can say about next year is life will happen. And when life happens, we will need to reach down in our treasure chest to give us strength to walk out of life as it happens. But if your treasure chest is empty, you'll find yourself very weak. And as much as pastors want to be there for everybody, every minute that we can be there, there'll be a time we will not be there. There'll be a time your mom won't be there, or your dad, or your brother or sister, or whoever it is, your best friend. And there'll be you in your treasure chest. I just say today, Pastor Ryan gives scripture every week. And what does he say? Don't take my word for it. Go home and read it for yourself. And, you know, when you, Doreen taught a class for me one time on memorizing the word. And, you know, you think, well, I can't memorize the word. I can't do this. You know, I could sit down probably and mute Forrest Gump and I could narrate the whole thing for you. just one of my movies. But, you know, I never watched Forrest Gump and tried to memorize him. I just watched it a lot. The secret there is get into the Word of God a lot. And it'll be in there. And out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. If, you know, and I tend to have a mouth. And I, you know, and I, you know, I really watch, you know, I have to watch. That's one of my things. I just have to watch because I can be so flippant and mouth off and not intend on hurting anybody, but do it. But, you know, the more I hide the word in my heart, the more I pray the angels sit on my tongue and stuff like that, you know, that God just puts a sweetness in my heart and has taken a lot of that snappiness out of me that I probably did for a big cover-up most of the time anyway. It was one of my ways of getting through. But, you know, the Bible says that God loves you unconditionally, but how do you know that? If you're not in the Word of God, how would you know that God loves you unconditionally? You have an eternal home. Psalm says in the 121st Psalm, it says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains where my help comes from. Now, if you don't read that and put that treasure in your treasure chest, how will you know where your help comes from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let my foot slip. He will watch over me. And he will not slumber. Isn't it nice to know God don't sleep? You know, I'm glad that when I go to bed at night, he's still awake. Because, you know, I don't know about you, but once in a while, I think he can't do it without me being awake. You know, I go to sleep and he did a fine job. Our granddaughter was like 8 years old and she was in some class and her teacher came out and said, wow, Hope. Your granddaughter really thinks the world of you. And I said, yeah, she's, you know, we're pretty close. And she said, no, I mean, she thinks the world of you. We were talking about God. And she said, if God had to take a couple days off, my grandma could do his job. Like, wow. So I personally, and you would certainly be also glad that God doesn't take a vacation, okay? It says in Psalm 139, which is one of my favorite chapters, that God crafted creation and redemption plan through Jesus in the same way he crafted you. You were knit together in your mother's womb. And I find that verse encouraging. Sometimes when you get up and you can't move anything, you know, remembering that, and I just, you know, I just remember that God created my body to do things, and so I'm going to try to work with it but he knit me together in my mother's womb. He knew me before I was. I remember the street that comes off by the new roundabout right down from your house? Mallard. Okay. I remember when they first got that roundabout, and here was a sign that said Mallard Street, and here was a sign that said Mallard Street. And I'm like, there's no stinking street there. It was weeds. You know, there was nothing there for a long time. But these two signs that said Mallard Street here and Mallard Street there. And one day when I passed that, I just, Lord, that is so goofy. And he said to me, he said, Hope, that's how I look at your life. I've already named the streets of your life. You might see a weed patch. You might see where you don't think it's going any place. And I've already got your streets named. I've already got the streets of those you're trying to reach named. The Bible says that, you know, he has a plan and a hope for our future. And once again, how do we know what that plan is? Unless we're in the Word. And I just want to leave you with just this short, silly little poem that just kind of says what I wanted to say today. My Bible to me is a treasure chest where I can always find whatever I need from day to day for my heart, my soul, and my mind. Be in the Word. Store it in your heart. Because when you need it, it'll be there. But you're going to need it. So fill that treasure chest with the Word of God.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Hope. What a timely reminder of this idea of treasure chests, of putting God's word into it and having something to pull out when you need it. If there was ever a year that Pastor Hope has lived the life where she needed her treasure chest, it was this year. And she just kind of glanced over what her and Jim have been through this year, but they've been through a lot. And if you know, have known Pastor Holt for any length of time, you would know that she is an encourager. She always has a positive thing to say. She always says, look to God, and she's like, there's no surprises to God. God already knew, and she's just full of hope. But there was a point this fall where everything that was happening with her and Jim got to be too much. And I knew it was time that Pastor Hope needed more hope when she said, I just don't know what to do. And she's correct in that life comes at us. We need each other. We need God's word. We need God. And it all starts with a decision. A decision to say, you know, I've been trying to do life my own way. I've been trying to figure this out. I've been trying to be a good person. I've been trying to help old ladies. I've been trying to give whenever I can give. I've been trying to check off enough things on the list. So hopefully, if there is a God and there's a chance to go to heaven, I've done enough things where he would say, yeah, he'll let me in. But if we spent any time understanding God's word, we'd understand that that's not how it works. You see, we are all born with an inheritance of death and sin. That's what we have inherited as human beings, that we have a propensity to do wrong, to do evil. It is our nature, what we refer to as human nature. And no matter how many good things we try to do, we will never be good enough to be able to be in God's presence. Why? Because Adam and Eve messed it up for us in the very beginning. Makes us think that maybe we should have a conversation with Adam and Eve. We get to see them in heaven and say, dude, why? But the great thing as we read God's story, as we read His Word, as we see that God put together a plan from the very beginning to say, I'm going to make a way that I can have a relationship with humans again. Somebody's going to have to pay the price for all the wrong, and for all the evil, for all the sin. Somebody was going to have to pay it. It had to be somebody who lived a perfect life. And the Bible describes that God loved you and I so much, He sent His Son Jesus to pay the price. He didn't come so that He could share some teachings. He didn't come so that He could do some miracles. He didn't come so He could walk on water. He didn't come so that they could get fishes in their nets. He didn't come so that 5,000 people could have a bunch of meals. That's not why Jesus came. He didn't come so that we can have Christmas and have angels and shepherds. He came to give up His life, to pay the price for you and for me, so that now we have the opportunity to be in relationship with Him again. That God's saying, hey, I've done my part, but it's time for you to do your part. When we think about church, we usually confuse the idea of church and God with a word we call religion. And religion, when we hear that word in our minds, we think of, oh, here's a bunch of lists of do's and don'ts and things I should and shouldn't do, and I got to be this kind of person, I got to walk this certain way and everything, and that's the farthest thing from the truth. You see, what Adam and Eve gave up at the very beginning was getting to walk with God, getting to be in relationship with God, getting to talk with God. And that's what God wants more than anything to do with you and I, is to be in relationship with us. When Jesus came to this planet, He flipped religion on its head, because He didn't go be one of the most religious leaders in anything. He went against everything that they were saying. And they're like, how could you do what you're doing? And He's saying, hey, you've missed the point. You've missed the point. We try hard to do the right thing. We try hard to figure it out. We believe that we are smart enough, that we are good enough, that if we work hard enough, we can figure out life. But I can sit here and tell you the truth, same as Pastor Hope just did a moment ago. 2019 is coming, and life's coming too. You are going to face things you don't even see coming. You're going to have triumphs and you're going to have falls. You're going to have joy and you're going to have heartbreak. And to do it by yourself with no hope and with no God is not a way to do it. But to do it with God is the only way to make it through the highs and the lows. We said the most important number we could have shared about 2018 was how many people made a decision. And part of that opportunity comes from us saying every single week, there is an opportunity to have hope in your life. There's an opportunity to decide to say, I want God in charge of my life instead of me. And we've offered it every single Sunday, and this Sunday is no exception. Because just a moment, if you came here looking for something, if you came here needing hope, needing joy, needing life, needing to know an answer, let me tell you, God is the answer. And it starts with the decision, saying, God, I want You in charge of my life. I need You. I believe You love me so much, You sent Your Son Jesus to pay the price for me. Pastor Hope shared that she was a kid of a family, of a bunch, and she was just one of the kids. But that thought, that idea that God loved her individually was profound to her. Profound to you and to I, that God loves you. He knows who you are, and He wants you. He knows what you've done, and he wants you. But it takes us saying yes to God. And so I'd like to give you that opportunity. And so I'm going to invite everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. This is the moment where you can say yes to God. And you would say, Pastor, I want that opportunity today. I want to make God number one in my life today. I'd like for you to let me know just simply by raising your hand right now so I can pray with you. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm going to invite you right now to pray, repeating after me, and we're all going to pray together. This prayer of decision, because this is really what it's all about. It's putting God as number one in our lives. So let's pray together. Say, Dear God, I'm sorry for everything I've done. I want you in charge of my life. I believe you love me so much, you sent your son to pay the price for me. I want to live for you. Give me purpose. Give me hope. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.